Inside of your bulletin is a sheet that says Ministry of God's Word. If you'll please take that out and stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. As you know, at least I hope you know, we have been studying the topic of prayer. And we've studied a number of different passages on prayer. And for the past 4 weeks, we've been studying the Lord's Prayer. And this is the fifth sermon on the Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. This, then, is how you should pray. Out loud with me, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, our desire as your people is to constantly be pointing to you. May the glory go to you. And may our desire, Lord, be to live godly lives, to say godly things, and to have less and less of those things in our lives that would do otherwise. Bless us today. Open our ears and our hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been here for this series, you know that I've said the Lord's Prayer is divided into two main sections. And one of the reasons why we don't pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday is because of verse 7 in Matthew. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling, because that means to say something mindlessly. To say something mindlessly without even thinking about it. And we don't want to do that at all. Two main sections. One section pertains to the things of God. And the other section pertains to the needs of man. Those that are concerned with God, hallowed be thy name. Keep holy God's name. Realize who he is. Thy kingdom come. May the rule and reign of Christ be in our lives. Thy will be done, which is coupled with thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we know the kingdom of God has come and invaded our lives? When we are doing and interested in the will of God. When we set about living the will of God. Today, we begin the second section. Things that are concerned with mankind. The needs of mankind. Provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts and protection from evil. But the one we are covering today is give us this day our daily bread. So if you'll take out this sheet, turn it over to the back, and as I say every week, hopefully you'll take some notes and take this out later in the week, like not Monday, not Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, Thursday. You'll take a look at these and get these ideas and truths in your heart. Give us this day our daily bread is a prayer for dependence upon God. As Christians, we are called to depend upon God daily. We're called to depend upon him daily. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice this. Give us this day and daily. It is repeated twice in that petition. This day and daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Twice, God wants us to understand that he wants us to come to him daily. This is not a new concept. This, in fact, Goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Goes all the way back to the Old Testament. And if you're a student of Scripture, I hope you are somewhat, you remember when the Israelites were in the wilderness, when they were there for 40 years, God fed them with manna. You know, manna means, what is it? But they would make various cakes, and it tasted like honey, Scripture tells us. It tasted like honey. Every day, God fed them with manna. It was bread from heaven. It was bread from heaven. Look at this from Exodus. God says, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. Now, you know what God could have done? He could have said, you know what? I want you to go grocery shopping. I want you to go grocery shopping and gather enough to last you the whole week. But he didn't. He said, I want you to come to me every day and get this food, this manna, this bread from heaven. And that's remarkable. I think it's remarkable because they had to rely upon him every day. Every day they needed to come before him and gather that. Now go on. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Two principles here. One, come to him daily. Come to him daily. Depend upon him daily. Second principle that you see here is gather enough on the sixth day. Gather enough on the sixth day so you don't come on the Lord's day, because that day is to be set apart for him. The Lord's day is to be set apart. Nothing's changed in that time. The only thing that's changed is our culture. Our culture's changed. But the principle throughout Scripture is that. This is a difficult concept for us. You know why it's a difficult concept for us? Because Americans are rich. Americans are rich. Although, many of you may be saying, yeah, but I'm not as rich as Bob. How many of you are thinking that this morning? I know I am. Bob, many hands are up. Americans are rich. We don't think that. But look at these things I want to share with you. Americans earn an income that is 10 times greater than the typical person in the world. If your family makes $52,000 a year, your family, not you, if your family makes $52,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the world. Astounding, isn't it? We think, I need more money. The global median income per year is $2,100. I'm not making these up. We are some of the wealthiest people that have ever lived, that have ever walked the first face of the earth. We are amazingly rich when we look at the rest of the world and the history behind us. We typically, however, don't look at us because we're a little bit spoiled. We don't want to say that too loudly. We're a little bit spoiled. Well, maybe a lot. Yeah, we're really spoiled. We are. We're really spoiled. I hope all of you know about the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis. One of the books in that series is Prince Caspian. At one point, Lucy sees Aslan. And if you don't know anything about Aslan, is a lion that represents Jesus. Aslan is a lion that represents Jesus. Lucy sees Aslan, and she hasn't seen him in a long time. And she says, you're bigger. You're bigger, Aslan. And Aslan says, that's because you're older, little one. Not because you are. And this is what Aslan says. Every year you grow, you will find me bigger. Every year you grow, you will find me bigger. What does that mean? The more mature we become in our faith, the bigger God will be and seem to us. The more that we grow deeper in our faith, the deeper we grow in our faith, the bigger God will be in our life. One of the things is we don't have to pray, give us this day our daily bread, because we have money. And we go grocery shopping once a week. Not that we should go every day, but we go once a week. We supply our own needs, and so we very rarely look to him and depend upon him. But that's for food, and that is for bread. However, this means another thing also, not just about food, not just about what we're going to eat. It also means it's a prayer for community. It's also a prayer for community. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice it does not say, give me this day my daily bread. It doesn't say, give me and my family. Give me and my family what I need. It says, give us this day our daily bread. So when we pray this petition, we're praying not just for ourselves, we're praying for the community of Christ. We're praying for the world, really, if we care about people who do not know him, the unsaved people. We're praying mainly, though, for the community in Christ, the community in Christ. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Because there one loaf, we who are many, we're one body. One loaf, many people, one body. One loaf, many people, one body. I have preached so many times on the aspect of community. And it's in the Lord's Prayer also. And how we as Americans, we as Americans, because we fought for our independence back in the Revolutionary War, we value our independence. And as wonderful as that is, it holds us back from really enjoying the community that Christ meant for us to have. And we keep on working on that. We keep on getting better and better and better at that. And I like that concept. I like us to do that. Four theological truths from this verse. Four theological truths. I like theology. Four truths from this. One, the one loaf is a symbol of our oneness together. How do I know that? Because Scripture just said it. It just told us that. One loaf, many people. Many people. One together, oneness. The one loaf is a symbol of our oneness, oneness together, community in Christ. Two, it was the practice of the early Christians to observe the Lord's table with one loaf. With one loaf. We haven't done this in a while. Probably should do it again. Every so often, those of you that have been here for a while, I would get a loaf and I would break it in two. And then I would hold out and I'd have you come out and tear a little piece out from that. And sometimes we've done that. Probably need to do that again as a reminder of what this is and what it means. Three, the Lord's Supper is a fellowship builder. How can I say that? I didn't. Scripture said it. Because there's one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one loaf. Four, the object of our love, it's not just me and Jesus. It's Jesus plus all of us. It's Jesus plus all of us. And if you've been here, you know, it's not just me and Jesus. It's not just you and Jesus. As important as a vertical relationship is, Scripture does not teach just a vertical relationship. It teaches that Christianity is a vertical relationship and a horizontal relationship. It is us individually with Christ and us together as we rub shoulders and gain and encourage one another, and we're with one another and we build up one another and we go out together. I like to call this the holy huddle. You are in a holy huddle with me. And after this, we're to go out and score touchdowns. Well, we're getting close to Steeler time. We're getting close to Steeler. They're going to be good. They're going to be good. You wait. I know. I'm old man Zoller. They're going to be good. Right, Jonathan? They're going to be good this year. Fellowship with Christ, according to Scripture, must equal fellowship with one another. That's biblical Christianity. That is biblical Christianity. Jesus never commanded us to stand. He never commanded us to kneel. He never commanded us to cross ourselves. He never commanded us to light candles. The one command that we see in all of this is for us to be meaningfully one. For us to become meaningfully one. That is a command. It is. We don't typically think that, but I've preached so many messages on that in the past. To find it in the Lord's Prayer, and it is. It's in the Lord's Prayer. One more thing. What it means, give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer for intimacy with Jesus. It's a prayer for intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the early church, the Lord's Supper was also accompanied by a meal that they would have. That meal was called the Love Feast. So they would eat food together. That was called the Love Feast, and then they would celebrate communion, or the Lord's Supper, or Eucharist, whichever one you choose to call it. Love Feast, breaking bread together, which means eating together, and then to celebrate communion together. Coming to the Lord's table is an invitation to have fellowship with Him. I just talked about it's having fellowship with one another, but it's having fellowship with Him. Having fellowship with Him. Look at this. From 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Then it goes on. The bread, which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Do you know this is where we get the term communion from, this verse? This is where we get the term communion from, this verse. Blood, is it not communion with Him? Bread, is it not communion with Him? The word is for communion, koinonia. And people usually associate that with potluck dinners. And that would be a small part of it. But it means this: community, joint participation, community and relationship, fellowship together. That is the meaning of koinonia. Joint participation. People together with Christ. And us being very intimate with Christ as a group. The God who fed the Israelites in the wilderness, manna. Fed Elijah on Mount Horeb. And also multiplied the bread and fish to feed 5,000. And also ate the Passover meal with the disciples. Is the same God who wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to touch you. He wants you to touch Him. Just as manna was spiritual food and drink to the Israelites, our participation in communion is spiritual food for us. One more scripture to look at. Do you know that Jesus wants to have a fresh encounter with you? And you know, that's hard. I find that hard. I find that hard. I really have to spend time with him to make it fresh so it isn't stale. You ever eat anything stale? You like to eat, how many of you like to eat stale bread? Lou, put your hand down. None of us. None of us like to eat stale bread. Jesus wants to have a fresh encounter with us. But I confess, that doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. We live such fast lives. And we want things just like that. Just like that. We want prayers answered like that. We want food. The faster we can make it, the faster we eat it, the faster we can go and do whatever it is that we're doing. But look at this. Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and eat, this is my body." He did four things. He took the bread. He gave thanks for the bread. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. Four things that he did. He is asking us to do one thing, to take it. To take it. And guess what? I already have it there. Guess what the word take in the Greek is? Lambano. Lambano, which means to take forcefully and bring it to yourself. It's that same word in the Greek that is in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, that I say to you every so often. Yet to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that word receive, and this is where it's so important for us to understand, that word receive is lambano in the Greek. And people can say, oh, I've received. Well, yeah. But it means to take hold in a strong manner. And as I've demonstrated in the past, it doesn't mean to take hold like this. It means to take hold like this. And so Jesus took the bread. He broke it. He gave it. But yet the disciples had to take it. He gave it and they had to take it. They must take it. Just as the disciples had to take it, we too have to take him. We have to take him. Every so often, I love to tell the story of Mephibosheth. No, I didn't just sneeze. But every so often, I love the story. I love the story of David and Jonathan and their interaction together and how Jonathan encouraged David. And I love to tell the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. I was going to say, if anybody knows who that is, Bob will get, but many of you will know who he is. Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son. Jonathan is the son of King Saul. Mephibosheth is the grandson of King Saul. When David was running for his life from King Saul, 10 years, by the way, he was running for his life from King Saul 10 years. When he was running for his life, it was King Saul's son, Jonathan, who made a covenant with him and said, I know, Jonathan said to David, I know that you are about to be king. That's astounding to me because all Jonathan had to do was to kill David. And he was next in line because his father was king. And he says to David, I know that you're to be king. And I will be second to you. Jonathan made a covenant with David. And when Jonathan died, and King Saul died, and David became king, David never forgot what Jonathan had done for him. He never forgot. And so David says this, I'm looking for any relatives of my friends Jonathan who are still alive. And if you know anything about history, you don't look for relatives of someone who used to be king because you're afraid that sometime down the road, they will want their throne back and will attempt to do so by force. You want to kill everybody in that family. That's what was done all throughout history. Did you see? David says, I'm looking for relatives of my friend Jonathan. And so Mephibosheth is found. But he's a cripple. You can see the crutch. That's it. He's a cripple. What happened after his father had died? King Saul died. His nurse, when he was 5 years old, dropped him. And it injured his leg so that he became a cripple. And so Mephibosheth was found. And this is what David says in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? And David said, I want to restore all of your lands to you. And this is what Mephibosheth said. All I want is to sit at your table, David, and sup with you. Is that a picture of what God wants with us, or what? That he wants to sup with us, and he wants to sup with us daily. You might remember the Vietnam War Wall Memorial. There's a painting, which is what that is. It is a painting showing a young mother with her daughter. Her husband had been killed in the Vietnam War. They're looking for the husband and the father's name on the war memorial. They find it. And instead of seeing their reflection in there, what you see is the father reaching out to them back. The father reaching out to the wife and reaching out to his daughter. That's what Jesus wants to do with us. That's what the Father wants. That's what he wants. As we reach out for him, as we're told, he'll give us this day our daily bread. As we reach out to him, he is reaching back to us. He says, I want you to come closer to me. I want to gather you to me. I want to give you real bread. I am the bread of life, he says. I am the living bread of life. And I want you to take real hold of me. And not just talk about the fact and say that, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm going to heaven. But I really want you to take hold of me because I want to interact and have intimacy with you every single day. Every single day. That's good stuff, isn't it? No? I think it's good stuff because it says a whole lot more to us than what we just kind of, give us this day our daily bread. And it means all three of those. It means we're dependent upon God for our food, although we're probably in America, we're not. It's talking about community, and it's talking about a real, deeper relationship with Jesus. And he wants us to have that relationship with him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Take a few minutes. Look to the Holy Spirit. Have him shine his holy spotlight upon you so that you might confess your sins and come before him with a clean heart this morning. Join me. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Musicians, and as they're coming, will you please stand? Elders will be up here if you need special prayer for anything, sickness, issues. Pastor Stephen will be over here on this side. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know even what that means, he'd like to explain that to you. Pastor Stephen, will you dismiss us?
Dear Father, we just thank you for this time of worship you, Lord, of hearing your holy word. Hearing the message, Lord, we pray that we take it to heart. We pray that we will meditate on your word, on this message this week, Lord. We pray that we will have an increased prayer life, Lord, that we will reach out to you, for we know that you are always reaching us to us, Lord. We thank you for all these things and ask a blessing on everyone here in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.